Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American.
Today's date is Tuesday, April 23rd.
You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
The training and leadership she received at Ector County ISD is what prompted Kashunta Thurman to start KT Executive Services, LLC. Thurman has been with ECISD for 9 years and is the Administrative Assistant to Chief Technology Officer Kelly Wilkes. KT Executive Services is now in its second year. Thurman added that she has worked with some phenomenal people in leadership for the majority of the time she has been with the district. It was through that leadership and sometimes the lack of that leadership that helped grow me and groove me into being able to take the initiative and step out and do what I'm doing now, Thurman said. The frontline roles are often overlooked and people in those roles are sometimes invisible, but they are one of the most important aspects of an organization. I want to shine a light on those individuals, Thurman said. KT Executive Services will host a workshop from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. April 27th at the Salisbury Campus Center at Odessa College. The cost is $85 per participant. Breakfast will be provided and there will be a question and answer session with executives at the end of the session to offer some feedback and conversation. Her business is about 2 years old and began in the midst of COVID. The most important aspects of any organization are the secretaries, administrative assistants, receptionists, custodians, and groundskeepers. They have more contact with the public than anybody, and oftentimes they are one of the first ones. If you have an issue or concern, you don't talk to the president from the jump. You go through about 5 to 6 different individuals, Thurman said. I focus on training those individuals to how to handle all situations, all circumstances, so that it may not have to get to the president or the superintendent or the principal or the executive. So that's what we do with KT. We focus on the foundation, she added. We focus on the frontline staff. Most of the time when you think of training, mentorship, and professional development, you look at your executives. You look at your leadership team. I'm with the district. You want to train the teachers and the counselors, but your frontline staff, they are the foundation of the organization, Thurman said. She gives a seminar at about 60 people because she wants to offer attendees one-on-one mentorship. Customer service is a big part of the training, but they also offer professional development, time management, active listening, effective communication skills. The training can be customized as well. I've worked with a lot of the local organizations around town. I've done time management seminars. I've done relaxation. During one of my seminars, we have been taking a mental break, so I'm working with some of the psychologists, so there are just different aspects of what KT offers, Thurman said. She is working with the Odessa Chamber of Commerce. She'll be working with LULAC this summer and with Dr. Dietrich Gorman for her relaxation conference. Thurman's business offers face-to-face group and virtual help, even out of state. She'll be traveling to Atlanta this summer. I'm working with the district in Corpus right now, where I work with the district once a month, and then I work with 2 individuals on campus once a month. So again, my services are customized to what the organization is in need of, Thurman said. She added that this training is something everyone can use regardless of title. We can all improve in some area, and these are some tools that, yes, I'm talking to you as far as your career goes, but I teach life skills. We go over hard and soft skills. We go over punctuality, just little things like that, Thurman said. This will be her first workshop in the area, so she's hoping it will open the eyes of organizations around town to think in a way that they haven't thought before, or look at a situation in a different way. We're just here to motivate and inspire. We just want everyone to be better, Thurman said. KT Executive Services has a team of four, including Thurman. My goal is to keep it small because I want to continue to be able to keep the personal aspect. I don't want to get too big, that the right hand doesn't know what the left hand is doing. I don't want to lose that personal touch. She added that she is content to be in the position she's in. She sees administrative assistant and secretary as a career, not just a job. It's a valued career. It's a very necessary career. If you think if you were to remove all of the secretaries, all of the administrative assistants, all of the personal assistants, how much can be done? Thurman will be married to her husband, Kurt Thurman, for 19 years in July, and they have two sons. He is currently assistant head football coach at Midland High School and head girls track coach. They both graduated from what is now called Legacy High School. Stacy Johnson, superintendent of Banquette ISD, who formerly worked in ECISD, has used KT Executive Services in her district and has been quite pleased with the results. Mrs. Thurman's professional development services have been an invaluable asset to our office staff here in Banquette ISD. Her dedication and expertise have not only supported our team as a whole, but also provided personalized guidance to each member, helping them refine their skills and enhance productivity for the benefit of both staff and students. Mrs. Thurman's commitment to individualized growth plans ensures that each staff member receives the tailored support they need to excel. Her presence fills a crucial gap in the professional development area for support staff, and I wholeheartedly endorse both her and the exceptional services she provides, Johnson said. Smith wins Reporter of the Year for second time. For the second year in a row, Kim Smith has been named Star Reporter of the Year by the Texas Associated Press Managing Editors. Smith also won the top spot in the Star Breaking News Report of the Year during the annual contest, which was announced over the weekend in Temple. Last year, Smith's work on issues on the Odessa City Council and on the heated Landgraf Gray race for state representative won her the Top Reporting Award. Kim's work on the shenanigans of the city council have been critical to inform the citizens of Odessa about what is really going on in Odessa, editor Laura Dennis said. This award is fantastic, and everyone at the OA is proud of the work she continues to produce. This year, Smith's continuing work on issues on the City Council and also her work on the remarkable story of James Harry Reyes and his exoneration won Smith the top award. Reyes was convicted of beating Reverend Patrick Ryan, 49, to death at the Sage and Sand Motel in Odessa by an Ector County jury in June 1983 and sentenced to 38 years in prison. He served 20 years before being paroled. In 2023, Reyes, 66, with help from the Innocence Project, Texas, was exonerated, and Odessa police found evidence linking three dead men to the murder. It was also the Reyes story that won Smith the top spot in the Star Breaking News Report category. Smith, along with OA editor Laura Dennis, won first place in editorial writing. Both women also shared honorable mention at the Star Investigative Report of the Year for stories holding city officials accountable, particularly the mayor, city attorney, and various council members. Smith also won second place in the Freedom of Information category, again for work on the City Council. Dennis and Smith shared second place in the Team Effort category. Odessa American publisher Pat Canty praised the award. I am so proud of Kim's accomplishments. Day in, day out, she has epitomized what it's all about to be a first-class journalist. She's tenacious, ever questioning, and objective, and she is never afraid to ask the difficult questions to keep public officials accountable to those they serve. She has never pursued a story with a foregone conclusion or agenda in mind. Rather, she has always worked tirelessly to pursue the facts and let the facts lead her to the story. She is a credit not only to this newspaper, but also to the entire industry, Canty said. Smith wins Reporter of the Year for second time. For the second year in a row, Kim Smith has been named Star Reporter of the Year by the Texas Associated Press Managing Editors. Smith also won the top spot in the Star Breaking News Report of the Year during the annual contest, which was announced over the weekend in Temple. Last year, Smith's work on issues on the Odessa City Council and on the heated Landgraf Gray race for state representative won her the top reporting award. Kim's work on the shenanigans of the city council have been critical to inform the citizens of Odessa about what is really going on in Odessa, editor Laura Dennis said. This award is fantastic, and everyone at the OA is proud of the work she continues to produce. This year, Smith's continuing work on issues on the City Council and also her work on the remarkable story of James Harry Reyes and his exoneration won Smith the top award. Reyes was convicted of beating Reverend Patrick Ryan, 49, to death at the Sage and Sand Motel in Odessa by an Ector County jury in June 1983 and sentenced to 38 years in prison. He served 20 years before being paroled. In 2023, Reyes, 66, with help from the Innocence Project, Texas, was exonerated, and Odessa police found evidence linking three dead men to the murder. It was also the Reyes story that won Smith the top spot in the Star Breaking News Report category. Smith, along with OA editor Laura Dennis, won first place in editorial writing. Both women also shared honorable mention at the Star Investigative Report of the Year for stories holding city officials accountable, particularly the mayor, city attorney, and various council members. Smith also won second place in the Freedom of Information category, again for work on the City Council. Dennis and Smith shared second place in the Team Effort category. Odessa American publisher Pat Canty praised the award. "I am so proud of Kim's accomplishments. Day in, day out, she has epitomized what it's all about to be a first-class journalist. She's tenacious, ever questioning and objective, and she is never afraid to ask the difficult questions to keep public officials accountable to those they serve. She has never pursued a story with a foregone conclusion or agenda in mind. Rather, she has always worked tirelessly to pursue the facts and let the facts lead her to the story. She is a credit not only to this newspaper, but also to the entire industry," Canty said. Public comment sought for proposed mountain lion regulations. The Texas Parks and Wildlife Department, TPWD, is seeking public comment until May 22nd on proposals to prohibit canned hunting and implement trapping standards for mountain lions. Mountain lions are relatively uncommon, secretive animals and have the widest distribution of any wildcat from Canada to South America. In Texas, mountain lions are found throughout the Trans-Pecos, the brushlands of South Texas, and the Western Hill Country. Canned hunts. Currently, Texas does not prohibit canned hunting, meaning the capture and later release of a mountain lion for the purpose of hunting. TPWD has proposed banning the act in Texas. The Big Cat Public Safety Act, passed by Congress in December 2022, prohibits most instances of possession of mountain lions, but does not address the disposition of lions that may be released from traps. Trapping standards. Texas does not require traps set for mountain lions to be checked. Concerns have been raised that some mountain lions are left to perish in traps, which may consider to be inhumane and potentially damaging to the reputation of trapping and hunting. TPWD has proposed a regulation requiring trappers to ensure that lions are not kept alive in traps or snares for more than 36 hours. Traps that cannot restrain a lion or are immediately lethal would not be subject to the regulation. The proposal also provides a blanket exemption to the 36-hour requirements for traps that have a breakaway device, allowing a cable snare to disassemble when subjected to a force of 235 pounds or less. Mountain lions are likely able to jump with 285 pounds of force or more. Conversely, coyotes typically can pull on snares with only 192 to 250 pounds of force. TPWD encourages public comment on the proposed regulation changes, and input will be considered before any action is taken by the Texas Parks and Wildlife Commission at its May public meeting. Opportunities to provide comments for or against these proposals include online. Comments on each of the changes can be provided on the TPWD comment public comment page until May 22nd. Phone or email. Comments on the proposed changes may be submitted to Richard Heilbrun, TPWD Diversity Program Leader, at richard.heilbrun@tpwd.texas.gov or 512-389-8104. In person, the TPW Commission will take public comments on the proposed changes at its meeting beginning 9 a.m. May 23rd at TPWD's Austin headquarters. Per usual practice, public testimony is limited to 3 minutes per person. Ella Noel hosting Demo and Donuts. The Ella Noel Art Museum of the Permian Basin will host Demo and Donuts at 11 a.m. May 1st at 4919 East University Boulevard. Demo and Donuts will feature a live demolition of the former facade of the Ella Noel Art Museum. Visitors can not only partake in the visual demolition, but also socialize and enjoy refreshments for the occasion. Demo and Donuts is just one of the many ways in which the Ella Noel Art Museum wishes to keep the community abreast of the $20 million renovation. In addition to this demo, you are invited to also visit the current gallery featuring Awkward Family Photos, the exhibition. Break out your old family photo albums because they want you to be a part of the fun. Send your own awkward family photos over to Carly at marketing@noelartmuseum.org, and they will feature them alongside the exhibit and on social media until June 2nd. Awkward Family Photos. The exhibition is created by the minds behind awkwardfamilyphotos.com. Rockhounds to host Miranda Lambert. America's pastime is getting major league star treatment as the Rockhounds proudly present 3-time Grammy Award winner Miranda Lambert live in concert at Momentum Bank Ballpark. Join us on June 29th as we transform the ballpark into a stage for the most awarded artist in Academy of Country Music history, including the top honor of Entertainer of the Year. Experience the thrill of live music against the backdrop of the West Texas sunset and our beloved Rocky Town, offering an atmosphere like no other. This marks Miranda Lambert's debut performance at Momentum Bank Ballpark, a news release said. Music on the Diamond is a first-of-its-kind offering from Diamond Baseball Holdings, the owner of the Midland Rockhounds and promoted by William Morris Endeavor and Dusan Music Group. This groundbreaking concert series brings top artists to minor league ballparks across the nation, providing fans with an unforgettable opportunity to witness their favorite stars in a unique and intimate setting. we are thrilled to be part of the inaugural Music on the Diamond concert series, Shelley Hanji, Midland Rockhound general manager, said in the release. We are one of five DBH teams that get to launch this exciting initiative, which is only the beginning of many great events coming to Momentum Bank Ballpark. We are truly blessed to share this with the community of Midland because it not only showcases the versatility of our ballpark, but also reinforces our commitment to provide entertainment to the community that never fails to support our organization. Bringing exciting new events and experiences that foster community and draw more people to our ballparks has been a goal of ours at DBH since the beginning. So launching Music on the Diamond is a momentous occasion for us, said Pat Battle and Peter Freund, executive chairman and CEO of DBH, respectively. Minor league ballparks provide some of the most unique atmospheres for entertainment, and we're thrilled to see these cornerstones of the community open their doors to the public as soon as possible. Tickets go on sale starting Friday, April 26th, and are expected to sell out quickly. Visit milb.com/Midland to secure your spot and for more details on ticket options and prices. Council to discuss revenue bonds for sports complex. The Odessa City Council will discuss the Bob Darrington plant, Odessa Fire Rescue raises, and a memorandum of understanding regarding the city's new sports complex on Tuesday. According to the council's work session agenda, the council will talk about an MOU for the development and financing of the city's new 140,000-square-foot multi-use sport complex and surrounding fields. The cost of the park, which will be located near Fadre and Yukon on 100 acres donated by the Bell family, is expected to be around $80 million. According to materials provided to the council, the Nonprofit Sports Foundation of Texas will ground lease the property from the city for the development and financing of the park for a period of 99 years at a cost of $1 per year. At the same time, the Centurion Foundation, a Georgia nonprofit, will sublease the property at $1 per year and then lease it back to the city, with the base rent being decided prior to closing. The materials indicate the park will be financed by the issuance of tax-exempt and taxable lease rental revenue bonds. The park will be developed by Sports Med Properties and operated by Rad Sports. Its construction is expected to take 18 months. The council will also hear an update about the condition of the Bob Darrington Wastewater Reclamation Plant from Utilities Director Kevin Niles. Back in December, a representative from Performance Services Incorporated spoke to the council about the plant and repeatedly used words like corrosion, non-functioning, malfunctioning, inoperable, uncontrollable, inefficient, degraded, unsafe, unrepairable, and crumbling. During the council's regular meeting, the council members will consider approving an internal salary study conducted by the OFR and adopting the recommendations made therein. According to materials provided to the council, in order to offer a competitive salary and solve compression issues, OFR needs an extra $458,545 this year and will need more than $1 million annually in the coming years. City Manager John Beckmeyer indicated there is $7.6 million left in federal COVID relief funds and they'll be used for the adjustments. During the council's regular session, council members will also discuss entering into an interlocal agreement with the Texas Government Accountability Association, which will provide consulting and advisory services with the implementation and adherence to a transparency and ethics policy. Creating a special projects coordinator position with an annual salary of $105,241. The coordinator will focus on continuing downtown projects and spearheading planning activities such as feasibility studies and project design. They'll also provide project management and support. Hiring the Navarro Group for $50,000 to plan Firecracker Fandango, Dia de los Muertos, and the Christmas Parade and Festival. Buying 10 Volvo side-load solid waste trucks for $3.3 million and a solid waste truck for just under $464,000. Entering into a $595,000 contract with the YMCA for the daily operation of the city's aquatic facilities. Passing a resolution that will give $250,000 to Special Olympics Texas. Passing a resolution approving an agreement between Odessa and the Texas Department of Transportation so that flashing yellow arrow traffic signals will be added to existing traffic signals along Grandview Avenue from Murphy Street to Business Interstate 20 and BI 20 for East 52nd Street. Odessa will be responsible for $284,000 of the $1.6 million project. It'll be covered by the 2019 bond fund. The council will also expected to go into executive session with Ector County Hospital District Consultants and Medical Center Hospital CEO Russell Tippin. The council will also discuss during its work session partnering with the National Fitness Campaign to build an outdoor fitness court. Grant funding is available up to $60,000, and the cost after grant funding would be up to $160,000 plus $30,000 for shade structures. Installing lighting at Salinas Park for $57,628. Renovating the Ratliff Ranch driving range for $981,471. Banning e-cigarettes within 50 feet of city building entrances. Consider awarding a $12.2 million contract to Reese Albert Incorporated for reconstructing 1.2 miles of Crane Avenue. The contract would also include replacing 5,500 linear feet of water lines and 20 manhole covers. Serve Midland hosts 4th Annual Charity Tennis Tournament benefiting Permian Warrior Partnership. Serve Midland is dedicated to uplifting and empowering individuals and supporting the community in Midland. Their goal is to come together, have fun, and raise money to support various organizations and causes through the shared tennis experience. This style of fundraising is unique in that the beneficiary changes each year, allowing them to serve various organizations in Midland. This year, on Thursday and Friday, April 18th and 19th, Serve Midland hosted its 4th annual charity tennis tournament and presented the Permian Warrior Partnership with a check for $125,000 for their organization. The tournaments were hosted at the Midland Country Club and the Racquet Club of Midland. The Permian Warrior Partnership is a veteran-focused, community-led initiative to proactively connect with all veterans and ensure access to quality resources and opportunities available in collaboration with the community. It aims to cultivate an integrated, resilient, and prosperous veteran community within the Permian Basin by improving veteran quality of life, thus ending veteran suicide. The Serve Charity Tennis Tournament is bringing light to this organization by facilitating over 250 tennis and pickleball players who participated through Thursday and Friday in both the men and women's division. Presenting sponsor was Diamondback Energy. Friday's event commenced at 5:30 p.m. and featured an exhibition match between professional tennis player Steve Johnson, Robert Farah, Amer Delek, and Alex Kutsanoff. The presentation of color was conducted by members of Midland High's AFJROTC. Former Mayor Patrick Payton introduced Roy Dobbins of the PWP as he detailed the work they are doing. The match was followed by a party on the patio on the greens of the Racquet Club, where all attendees were encouraged to wear country white club whites. The party included dinner, dancing, and raffles sponsored by Ally Village, Nines Apparel, Inspirado, the Hickey Family, Cowboy Prime, Kathy Easton, Black Rifle Coffee, Hyacinth for the Home, Simply Midland, Midland Country Club, and the Racquet Club of Midland. Harmony Public Schools renews Early Release Fridays for staff and students for 2024-25. Harmony Public Schools will renew its popular Early Release Friday program for both students and staff for the 2024-25 school year. Initially piloted during the current school year, the program concludes the school week for both teachers and students at 1 p.m. each Friday. The program was created to provide Harmony team members additional self-care time during the week, whether that includes spending more time with family, scheduling personal appointments, or simply getting an early start on a relaxing weekend. Harmony is the second largest school system in Texas to offer such a perk, a news release said. The program has been a popular success since its launch. A February 2024 survey of Harmony staff found that Early Release Fridays was employees' second most favorite perk of working for the school system, behind only helping students achieve. Harmony is constantly looking for innovative approaches to improve the school experience for both our students and our team members, Harmony CEO Fatah I said in the release. Early Release Fridays has been a big hit with our entire Harmony community. We're excited to continue offering this unique perk. Harmony Public Schools is a Texas-born, Texas-wide public charter school system with campuses serving pre-K 12 students in 23 cities across the state, including Greater Houston, DFW, San Antonio, Austin, El Paso, Waco, Lubbock, Midland, Odessa, Bryan, Beaumont, and the Rio Grande Valley. Harmony's curriculum places a heavy focus on STEM skills, character education, project-based learning, and college readiness. Harmony Public Schools is currently accepting applications for the 2024-25 school year for students and team members. Head-on crash claims four lives. Four people were killed in a head-on crash Saturday afternoon, including a 14-year-old Odessa boy. According to the Texas Department of Public Safety, Leo Sandoval, 19, of Clint, Texas, was driving a Dodge Ram 1500 west in the eastbound lane of 42nd Street when he hit a Chevrolet Silverado near FM 1936 that was being driven by Hector Manuel Martinez Olivas, 46, of Odessa. Sandoval was taken to Medical Center Hospital, where he was pronounced dead. Martinez Olivas and his passengers, Norma Estela Marquez Gonzalez, 45, and the 14-year-old, were pronounced dead at the scene of the crash, which happened about 2:45 p.m. The crash remains under investigation. Earlier in the day, Carla Mendez, 21, of Odessa, was killed in a crash at 42nd Street in Tanglewood. According to the Odessa Police Department, Mendez was traveling west in the 4100 block of East 42nd shortly before 6 a.m. when, for unknown reasons, her Honda Civic veered off the roadway and struck a power pole. She went to a local hospital and later pronounced deceased by medical personnel. The crash is still under investigation. TxDOT issues I-20 traffic alert. The Texas Department of Transportation issued a traffic alert Monday for I-20 in Midland County. The eastbound right lane of I-20 at Cotton Flat will be closed from 7 p.m. Monday until 5 p.m. Tuesday. The construction team is repairing the main lane detour pavement. Watch for slow-moving traffic in this work zone. Expect delays or use an alternate route if possible. Know before you go, use the Basin 20 app to plan your travel along Interstate Highway 20 construction zones. 25 spots left for PAL Summer Camp. Keep your kids active throughout the summer with fun activities. The Police Athletic League runs Tuesday, May 28th through Friday, June 21st, and is 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. each day. The program encourages physical fitness and teamwork, and kids will have the opportunity to interact with OPD officers. This is a first-come, first-served basis, as only the first 80 applicants will be accepted. There are currently approximately 25 spots remaining for ages 8 through 11. Go to https://odessapd.com/463/police-athletic-league-pal to complete the registration and release forms. The registration fee is $100 per child, and they will only accept cash or money orders, no checks. You may bring the completed forms and payment to the OPD front desk. Records can notarize the release form if needed. Neighborhood Watch Meeting to Highlight Substance Abuse. The Odessa Police Department's next Neighborhood Watch Meeting is scheduled for 7 p.m. Tuesday, April 23rd at the OPD Classroom, 205 North Grant Avenue. OPD and the Permian Basin Regional Council on Alcohol and Drug Abuse will hold presentations and educate the public on alcohol and drug abuse awareness. Couple facing drug charge. Odessa officers investigating a report about gunfire and two vehicles chasing each other early Monday morning ended up making two drug arrests. According to an Odessa Police Department report, dispatchers received the disturbance call around 12:45 a.m. from an apartment complex in the 4600 block of Oakwood Drive. When officers arrived, they found one of the involved vehicles, a Cadillac, on one side of the complex and detained the driver after he tried to run away, the report stated. In addition to detaining the driver, who was identified as Alexander Hernandez, 30, officers detained Vivian Areola, 32, who was found near the Cadillac, the report stated. Areola told officers she was getting ready to leave with Hernandez and had just placed her belongings inside the vehicle, the report stated. Officers found a Louis Vuitton bag and a backpack inside the car, the report stated. According to the report, Areola admitted the Louis Vuitton was hers, and inside officers found two glass pipes, small baggies, and a scale. Inside the backpack, officers found 19 grams of methamphetamine, several baggies, and a small scale, the report stated. Hernandez, who officers said was hard to understand because he was intoxicated, indicated the backpack was not his. So did Areola. The couple were both arrested on suspicion of manufacture delivery of a controlled substance, and Hernandez was arrested on suspicion of evading arrest too. He's being held in the Ector County Jail on surety bonds totaling $51,500. She's being held on a $50,000 surety bond. Aggravated assault suspect now facing drug charges. Odessa police arrested an Odessa man awaiting trial in an aggravated assault case on two felony drug charges Friday, following an investigation that netted them 72 grams of methamphetamine and 18 grams of cocaine. According to an Odessa Police Department report, detectives recovered the methamphetamine during an investigation that began earlier this month, and as a result, they were able to obtain a search warrant for Mario Bernal Jr.'s home in the 300 block of Ann Street. The detectives found the cocaine inside a safe inside a bedroom, the report stated. Bernal admitted to the detectives he's been a middleman in the drug trade for the last 2 years, the report stated. Bernal was booked into the Ector County Jail on suspicion of two counts of manufacture delivery of a controlled substance. Bernal was arrested last July after he was accused of intentionally ramming the back of his wife's Hyundai Santa Fe with his Dodge Ram in the 500 block of Lindbergh, and then pulled her out of the car and hitting her in front of the four children who were also in the car. Officers who responded to a 911 call about the event observed injuries on the woman's face and her car, according to the report. Officers weren't immediately able to locate Bernal, but he was arrested a few weeks later on five counts of aggravated assault with a weapon, evading arrest with a weapon, and evading arrest detention. He was released from jail after posting $225,000 in surety bonds and later indicted by an Ector County grand jury on the same charges he was arrested on. On Monday afternoon, Ector County District Court Judge Justin Lowe revoked Bernal's bail in the earlier case at the behest of prosecutors, so he's now being held without bail. Man accused of targeting motorcyclist. An Odessa man was arrested late Saturday night after a couple told police he repeatedly sideswiped them as they were riding on a motorcycle and then followed them home and shot at them, according to an Odessa Police Department report. Officers responded with lights and sirens to the 3800 block of Merrill Avenue after getting a report about the disturbance, and an officer found the suspect vehicle, a Dodge Ram 1500, traveling north on Golder Avenue near Tropicana. Officers pulled over the vehicle and ordered the driver, Larry Polanco, 31, out of the vehicle at gunpoint, the report stated. Officers found a 22.3 AR pistol in the truck and noted Polanco was unsteady, had red glassy eyes, slurred speech, and smelled of alcohol, the report stated. Polanco refused two field sobriety tests and showed signs of impairment with the third, the report stated. At the same time, other officers spoke with a 39-year-old man and a 40-year-old woman who told them they were traveling west on West 42nd Street near Andrews Highway on a Honda motorcycle when the driver of a Dodge Ram almost hit them, the report stated. The man said he revved his engine to warn the other driver, and the other driver responded by hitting his brakes and intentionally sideswiping his motorcycle numerous times, the report stated. According to the report, the couple said the driver followed them to their home on Merrill Avenue and passed by several times before opening fire on them. Officers noted 3 to 4 bullet marks in the house and one in the back of the man's Dodge Ram, the report stated. Polanco was arrested on suspicion of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, deadly conduct, and the misdemeanor crimes of driving while intoxicated and unlawfully carrying a weapon. He was released from the Ector County Jail Sunday after posting surety bonds totaling $42,000.
Centers for Children and Families hold fundraising gala. Scores of West Texans gathered in support of Centers for Children and Families, Centers, at their Boots, Barrels, and Beads fundraiser on April 5th at the Petroleum Club of Midland. The gala was sponsored by various corporations, foundations, and individuals in the area, raising close to $500,000 for mental health services provided by Centers. The events program featured a ceremony dedicated to honoring special friends and philanthropists in the Permian Basin. Dr. Glenn Rogers, serving as honorary chair, was acknowledged as a devoted supporter of the organization and warmly welcomed to the occasion. and warmly welcomed guests to the occasion. In a surprise move, ConocoPhillips was awarded the Outstanding Partnership Award for their significant support, accepted by Hal Mead, Center's board member, and Amanda Day. Melanie Size, Marketing and Development Director, remarked, quote, "It is our goal to bring an evening of joy to all friends of Center's, and they always bring that joy back with true generosity," end quote. Embracing a Texas, Louisiana vibe, attendees were adorned with sequins, bow ties, and boots. The evening's highlights included whiskey and wine cork pulls, a traditional Louisiana cake pull sponsored by Market Street, and live auction entertainment by the Cowboy Auctioneers and the West Texas famous Current Nine Band. The Petroleum Club provided a delightful mix of Texas and Louisiana cuisine, including Southern filet mignon and crab cake duo, pecan serenade pies, and Bourbon Street banana pudding. Vibrant and stunning floral displays courtesy of HEB adorned the venue, infusing it with color, with a portion of the arrangements generously donated. Christy Edwards, CEO of Center's, expressed heartfelt gratitude, stating, quote, "Mental health has become a key initiative in our community, and our patrons are a reflection of how important it truly is," end quote. She further conveyed appreciation for the community's support since 1957, enabling Center's to positively impact lives over the span of decades. Since 1957, Centers for Children and Families has believed that strong, emotionally healthy families make a strong, healthy community. It is designed to be an affordable resource for individuals and families facing various stages of need. Centers offers individual, marital, and family counseling services. Counseling is provided at reduced or no cost. Most insurance plans and Medicaid are accepted. Service is offered for ages 3 and up for group or individual sessions. No referral from a doctor or agency is required. Counseling emphasizes support and healing of individuals and families facing challenges.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.